This is FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond, including the towns of Bayless and Blue Gum. And you're listening to Ecotopia, a weekly program exploring ecosystems, environmental, economic, social, and technological. I'm Stephen Chudy.
And I'm Susan Chudy. Tonight, our topic is endangered species, and we'll have three guests. First, we'll talk with Dr. Mark Rockwell of the Endangered Species Coalition about the Endangered Species Act and its implication.
Then we'll talk to Mary Machowski, who is coordinator of the Endangered Species Fair, sponsored by the Butte Environmental Council. That's coming up on Saturday, May 2nd, 10 days from now at Bidwell Park. It's a wonderful ecotopian event.
And finally, we'll talk with Rosamund Crowder, who will be bringing the One Heart Ceremony to the fair. It's a fantastically choreographed and colorful ceremony of dancers, musicians, and giant puppets representing earth, air, fire, and water.
Ecotopia is made possible by member contributions and by Green Ovations, specializing in energy-focused retrofitting and green building upgrades. They offer in-home energy audits, diagnostic testing, and environmentally friendly products for home improvements. Green Ovations can be reached by calling 895-9700 and on the web at green-o-vations.com.
This is the week of our KZFR membership drive, and we believe, we strongly believe, that community radio is an integral part of the kind of ecotopian community that we're promoting on this program.
KZFR provides local content put together by local programmers. But as we'll show on tonight's program on endangered species, we also try to make connections between the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond to the global link that is vital to a concerted effort to save and better our planet.
And tonight we are offering a special gift in addition to the $50 pledge gift of a KZFR t-shirt. In addition to that, we are offering two books. One is Earth, the Sequel, The Race to Reinvent Energy and Stop Global Warming by Fred Krupp, who's the president of the Environmental Defense Fund, and Miriam Horn, who we interviewed on this show 2 weeks ago. And then last week, we interviewed Rosemary Roberts, What Would the Buddha Recycle? And it's got lots of tips on how to live the zen of green life. And it's a very fun and interesting book.
So please take a moment during our program. Give KZFR a call, 895-0706 or 895-0131, not only to make your pledge, but to pick up those two books, Earth the Sequel or What Would the Buddha Recycle, as bonus premiums.
We'll be right back to talk with Mark Rockwell of the Endangered Species Coalition right after this.
Super.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR, and tonight our topic is threatened and endangered species. You're listening to Supernova, performed by Liquid Blue from their Supernova album. Before we talk with our first guest, Mark Rockwell, we want to give you a few facts about endangered species from EndangeredSpecies.com, the National Wildlife Federation, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. According to scientists, more than 1.5 million species exist on Earth today. However, recent estimates state that at least 20 times that many species may inhabit the planet. We also know that species are going extinct at a record rate in our time. Here in the United States, 735 species of plants and 496 species of animals are listed as threatened or endangered.
In California, 309 plants and animals are on the threatened or endangered species list, including abalone, the grizzly bear, the humpbacked whale, numerous butterflies, several species of foxes, and the northern spotted owl. In the past several decades, a number of species have gone extinct despite being listed, including the Santa Barbara song sparrow and several species of pupfish. And some species have recovered sufficiently to make it off the list, including some wolves, falcons, and eagles.
On the phone with us tonight is Dr. Mark Rockwell, who is the California coordinator of the Endangered Species Coalition. Welcome, Mark.
Welcome. Thank you very much, Stephen. Nice to be with you.
Thanks very much for being with us. Could you please tell us a little bit about the work of the Endangered Species Coalition? Who are its members? You have both a national and a California division. Perhaps you could talk about that for us, please.
Okay. Well, the Endangered Species Coalition is a group that I started working for a little over 4 years ago, and it's actually a coalition, just as it says. It's made up of over 400 businesses, religious groups, hunting, fishing groups, and environmental groups from around the country. And we're focused on maintaining a strong Endangered Species Act and protecting plants, fish, and animals listed as endangered or threatened.
How does your work...
That's primarily our goal.
How do you tie in with the federal government? Are you lobbyists or an interest group?
Well, I think what we would call ourselves is both a local support group for groups. Like in California, we have over 50 member groups here in California that I work with directly to give them a voice both in the national policy issues that go on. That would be laws and other actions that are taken by federal agencies like the Fish and Wildlife Service or the National Marine Fisheries Service, and to also give them some feedback on what's actually going on in Washington. Many of the groups are working on local issues, just like the Butte Environmental Council is doing there in Eco. So our goal is to kind of provide a communication network between what goes on in Washington on a national basis and with agencies, as well as give them an opportunity to speak forward into that process.
The Endangered Species Act was first created under the Nixon administration and has changed over time. What do you see as its successes and its failures in over the years?
Well, I think primarily the successes with the Endangered Species Act, frankly, is that once the species degrades, so to speak, to the point where they are threatened with extinction, and they become evaluated and then finally listed, historically, since the act was since the law was put into place in the 70s, we really see that every species that has been listed has stopped decline, and many of them have recovered to the point where they've been taken off the list.
And what about failures?
Well, I think the failures that we hear most of the time are not relative to species necessarily.
Okay.
They're mostly failures that are talked about by the development communities where the Endangered Species Act kind of gets in the way of land use actions, whether it's timber harvests or water diversions or development like housing communities or shopping malls, those kinds of things. So the Endangered Species Act definitely has to be taken into account in those situations. It's not that it's a problem necessarily, but it's something that they have to deal with. So sometimes those things are looked upon as failures, but not by...
Not by the people who support the endangered species, but by the people who feel that standing in the way of their being able to do whatever it is they want to do.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think, frankly, that's many times mostly overstated, because the Endangered Species Act is not designed to block things. It's designed to make us stop and think before we take actions, so that we actually can provide for the needs of species that are not doing very well and not drive them to extinction. So it just makes us act differently and think about things in a more contemplated way, I think.
So what sets your agenda for the coalition? How does the coalition set its agenda? Do they do it vis-a-vis the Endangered Species Act, or they just gather whatever happens locally, whatever comes from the grassroots really establishes what the agenda is? Or,
well, historically, I would say the Endangered Species Coalition's agenda was set by challenges to the Endangered Species Act itself, mostly in Washington. The most recent one was 3 years ago when Representative Pombo from the Central Valley of California introduced a law to significantly weaken the Endangered Species Act. But once that was passed, and frankly, that came down to one vote in the Senate, with Lincoln Chafee, who was a moderate Republican, who would just not vote to let it come out of committee. So it taught me a lesson personally that one vote can be a huge difference in the right situation. But beyond that, we've moved now to supporting activities like Endangered Species Day, which is coming up here in just a few weeks, as a matter of fact. In May, Endangered Species Day is the 15th of May. It's the third Endangered Species Day that's been sponsored around the country. There's been Senate resolutions supporting it as a national day of celebration for endangered species. And right there in Butte County, you have the Endangered Species Fair that's sponsored by the Butte Environmental Council. So, you know, nationally, last year we had over 100 different activities and events that went on in Endangered Species Day. We had over 30 in California. So that is something the Endangered Species Coalition actually sponsors. We work on every year.
We went on your website, and we're looking at their explanations of what the Bush administration did to weaken the enforcement of the Endangered Species Act. Obviously, a lot of legalism involved. It's not like saying, well, take up your guns and go shoot the wolves. For it to change, they have to do manipulations. I wonder if you could talk for our listeners a little bit about just what the Bush administration did to change the enforcement.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, in 2005, they actually tried to introduce legislation that would weaken the Endangered Species Act. That failed. So last year, just prior to leaving office, the administration, through the Department of Interior and National Marine Fisheries Service, introduced regulation changes, it's called, which is really what the regulations are, what the Fish and Wildlife agencies use to actually engage or implement the Endangered Species Act. So two things that they did that were very, very consequential. One is they changed the way consultations are done. When a consultation is any time a federal agency is going to do something on a piece of federal land, they are required under the Endangered Species Act to go to the Fish and Wildlife Service or the wildlife agencies and ask what impacts that will have on listed species. What the Bush administration did was to change that from a mandatory requirement to a choice item. You can choose; they can choose to do that if they want to.
Right.
And then the other thing that they changed was what they call the 4D rule. They created an interpretation of that, or a change in the regulation, that allowed them to circumvent the impacts of climate change on the listing of the polar bear. Most of us would know that polar bear is suffering because of the effects of climate change, with shrinking sea ice and changes in their habitat. But the regulations that the Bush administration put into place was to exempt climate change from being considered. So we're engaged right now in trying to roll those things back.
Right. So do you feel optimistic about what will happen under Obama? Some people say that Salazar of the Fish and Wildlife Service and the NOAA people are going to reverse Bush administration actions. Are you optimistic?
Well, I think we're cautiously optimistic. I think, you know, the statement from the president have been very good. You know, he signed a memo which put on hold these regulation changes to allow 60 days for the Secretaries of Interior and Commerce to review the regulations, and Congress also in the budget bill did something similar. But I think the we're going to know where we stand, quite frankly, here within the next 15 or 16 days.
Wow.
With these secretaries, both of Interior and Commerce, because they have a choice to make here that, you know, are they going to hold a strong Endangered Species Act as one of the tenets of this administration, or are they not? We're cautiously optimistic and hopeful, but we're not, you know, we're just not at this point. Well, we're working very hard to try to message to them to roll these regulations back.
Right. So, I'm sorry, Steve wanted to ask you a question, but I just wanted to follow up. So your organization, the members of the coalition then lobby through letters and phone calls and that sort of thing to get the Obama administration to do the right thing?
That's correct. Prior to the administration change, we did a letter with 110 groups approximately who signed on to that to ask them not to implement the regulations. Right. We now have a letter which will be mailed on Friday to the Secretaries of Interior and Commerce. We currently have more than 130 groups signed on to that letter requesting to roll back the regulations. And we testified last week at a Department of Interior meeting in San Francisco over continental shelf energy development on this very issue. And Representative Woolsey and Senator Boxer both made eloquent statements about rolling the regulations back to Secretary Salazar. So,
excellent.
We think he has the message.
Good.
Will he make the choice?
Yes, right.
We're talking with Mark Rockwell, the California Director of the Endangered Species Coalition on KZFR Radio. We want to remind you that this is Membership Drive Week at KZFR. The phones are open. We invite you to call in to pledge your support to KZFR, 895-0706 or 895-0131.
And Jim and Drew are waiting for your calls. They're sitting out there with nothing to do right now.
You know, if you don't mind, I would also like to remind your listeners that it's important for average citizens to weigh in on these regulation changes. And you can do that by either by going to our website, which is www.stopextinction.org. And there's a way of signing on to a petition there. Or you could even contact me directly. I don't know if you want me to give any information on that.
But yes, go ahead.
You can contact me directly at my email is summerhillfarm, P as in Paul, V as in Victor, at AOL.com.
And we've also posted the ESC website address on our own website, ecotopiakzfr.net. I wonder if we could turn to California issues just a little bit, and maybe even more narrowly the North State and the Sacramento Valley. What do you see as the big projects that are underway, either from the coalition or from the government or other NGOs, to work on endangered and threatened species in California?
Well, I think the best way to help endangered species in California, I think, really on a personal level, is to take part in the Endangered Species Fair in Chico, because it makes you just more aware of the impacts and what goes on with endangered species in our state. Our state happens to be the second biggest state numbers-wise for endangered species. Hawaii is number one.
Yes.
But we have a lot of endangered species listed here, and we also have a lot of land use impacts here that make it difficult for recovery. So, you know, I think there's personal things that you can do that have impacts, and that's just use less in your life. I think that's a big one. And that means use less water, less packaging, less lumber, less energy, because all of those things either directly or indirectly impact species existence. You know, speak out to your legislators. One thing I've learned in 5 years of this work is that our voices do count, and they count more than lobbyists, because lobbyists are in Washington every day. And when people like Senator Feinstein or your local representatives hear from home, whether that's from a phone call or an email, it makes a big impact. Join organizations like the Butte Environmental Council or the Endangered Species Coalition, or anyone that, you know, you feel emotionally connected to, because I think those things are important. Become an activist, I guess, is really what I think.
There's also
because I often think of this as it's up to us to speak for those that have no voices.
Right.
There's also an excellent list on your website, 10 things you can do to protect endangered species. I don't think we'll have time to read that tonight, but we'll post the link on our website as well. Practical things you can do day to day, even developing some wildlife habitat in your own backyard.
That's right. Yeah. There's a lot of things you can do to reach out, and I just think it's kind of our responsibility. We use a lot of the benefits from our environment. It's kind of up to us to give back.
When we corresponded, you said that one of the big issues in California and the valley is water. Management of water impacts. It impacts fish species, the Spring Run Chinook in Butte Creek, as well as salmon species and steelhead. Could you talk a little bit, please, about what you see as the issues and problems there?
Well, I think particularly in the Sacramento Valley area, one of the big issues is the drought water bank, which is the Department of Resources, State of California, drawing on the groundwater called the Tuscan Aquifer, which is right underneath your feet, basically there, and have installed many test wells, which I think they're planning to draw 70,000 acre feet out of the Tuscan Aquifer to give to the California water system. I think it's important to understand that you have one of the last remaining healthy underground water aquifers in the state, and to allow the department to start sucking water out of that to supplement water in other locations, whether that's the San Joaquin Valley or other places, may not be in the best interest of those who live in the Sacramento Valley. So certainly water is an impact on that. If the Tuscan Aquifer goes down, it will impact streams on the East Valley like Butte Creek, because there will end up being less flows. More water will seep into the ground. That will further put at risk species that live there, like the Spring Run Chinook salmon, Central Valley steelhead. So I think that's a huge impact. Water is going to be the biggest issue. The old saying, is whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. So we're really going to see that in spades in the coming years, particularly with climate change as an issue.
Truly.
And the Butte Environmental Council is one of our first lines of defense. We've had Jim Brobeck on the program before. They're filing lawsuits at regular intervals to try to head off the draining of the Tuscan Aquifer.
Yes, and I think they're doing everything they can to try to represent small family farms in the valley there that require wells to access water for their orchards. I think that's the primary issue there.
Right. So if you were the boss of everything, if you were the endangered species czar, what changes would you make in laws or in the implementation of laws that are already on the books? What would you do to immediately change things?
Well, I think there's a few things that come to my mind right off the bat. One is anytime a species is having a recovery plan developed or critical habitat designated, it's called. In other words, that's the land that species needs to survive in. There is more than just the impact on the species that's evaluated. There's an economic evaluation that is required so that we understand what the impacts will be culturally. I think in the past what we've seen is that those economic evaluations have only really looked at cost of critical habitat designation, but have not looked at benefit. Mm-hmm. So I think better economic evaluations that looks at both costs and benefits would be a big change. I think better congressional funding for the Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Marine Fisheries Service Endangered Species Programs, which historically through most all of the Bush administration will continuously cut. Fortunately, the new Obama administration has nice increases there, so that's hope.
Right.
I think better funding for habitat conservation plan mitigation would be good. In California, we lead the country in habitat conservation planning. And under those plans, it's a way for communities and governments, so to speak, or others to plan for the future. And if there's benefits to the developer for those plans, then the developer has to pay a certain amount of money. But there's also some benefits that goes to the public, open space, wildlife corridors, and walking paths, and those kinds of things, perhaps. And that money has to come from public funding.
Right.
And that has historically been greatly underfunded. So I think better public funding for that side of habitat conservation planning would be good. And then I think a last one would be for private landowners, particularly would be more money under Section 6 of the Act for conservation easements, whether that's for habitat conservation or just for conservation easement for ranchers and farmers who would like to do habitat set-asides, so to speak, or, you know, older family farmers or ranchers, let's say, who, you know, whose family, whose children have decided to leave the ranch, but they don't, the parents don't want to leave. They end up being land rich but cash poor.
Right.
If we had more money for conservation easements, then they could take conservation easements, which would pay them some of the value of their land tax-free in just cash.
And is that like the Williamson Act? Is that
It's somewhat like the Williamson Act, yes, a little bit. But this is where, you know, you've got some conservation value on your land.
Right.
Would come in, and that value would be appraised. Let's say it's 40% of the total value of your land. Let's just pick numbers that your land is worth $500,000. So that would be $200,000 of conservation value. Okay. If you give an easement on that, which says, I will not split up or develop my land, for that agreement, you then would get the conservation value or $200,000 cash.
Great. Yeah. Excellent. We've been talking with Dr. Mark Rockwell, who's the California coordinator of the Endangered Species Coalition. We really appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I wish you all well up there, and we hope we have a nice, little less hot summer than what we've had the last couple of days.
Cooling off tomorrow. Yep. Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Their population. That means more willow trees bringing beavers to that location. They build dams which create ponds for aquatic life and trout. Take away the wolves, you leave them all in doubt. Tiny stream bed fry, which in turn eat drifting midge long before they fly. But these feed on algae, keeping the rivers clean. Without the steelhead, algae soon turns the water green. Top down, chain is connected. Take away a keystone piece, the system's unprotected. Each level affects the next, but with a single
action. That's Trophic Cascade by Ron Fryer from his Endangered Animals album. You're listening to Ecotopia on KZFR. We want to remind you that this is Membership Drive Week at KZFR. We're asking you to phone in to support community radio. You can call 895-0706 or 895-0131 to make your pledge. And several people have called in. We want to thank them. Jim and Connie Reese from Chico have called in. They support KZFR because it's all good, it's all great. And we can also wish Connie another happy birthday. Seth Payne called in. Stays Crunchy in Milk is why he supports KZFR radio. Bob Spear called in. Biggest fan, rare, beautiful, local asset is KZFR radio. And Jim Brobeck of the Butte Environmental Council called in with he enjoys Ecotopia and enjoys KZFR radio generally.
And we would like to remind you that we have two special gifts that we're offering tonight for a $50 pledge. In addition to getting a t-shirt, you get a t-shirt with $50 pledge, but we're also offering two books from two people we've interviewed in the last couple of weeks. Last week we interviewed Rosemary Roberts, and her book is called What Would the Buddha Recycle? It's, the subtitle is The Zen of Green Living, and it's all about how to live consciously and mindfully on the earth, and has lots of very, very practical suggestions that are in consistent with Zen practice. And then the second book is by Fred Krupp and Miriam Horn. We interviewed Miriam Horn. He is the president of the Environmental Defense Fund. And the book is a best New York Times bestseller, Earth, the Sequel, The Race to Reinvent Energy and Stop Global Warming, a more philosophical book. So those come with a $50 pledge. Again, the number is 895-0706 or 895-0131.
As part of that global to local focus that's possible with community radio, we're talking tonight about endangered species. We want to welcome to the studio Mary Machowski of the Butte Environmental Council. Mary is coordinating efforts for the 30th Annual Endangered Species Fair. That'll be held Saturday, May 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Cedar Grove in Bidwell Park, Chico. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you for having me.
Could you tell us a little bit of the history of the Endangered Species Fair, how it's grown over the years?
Butte Environmental Council started the Endangered Species Fair 30 years ago.
Wow.
Butte Environmental Council itself is only 33 years old. Since then, the fair has really grown, and now we get approximately 7,000 to 10,000 people showing up each year.
Wow. And can you tell us a little bit about what is planned for the day?
Yeah, we have a full day of entertainment. We start off with a couple local bands, then we'll have Hooker Oak School. We'll have music and dancing. Local World will play at 12. The most popular event we have is Wild Things for the kids.
And what's Wild Things?
Wild Things is an organization that takes care of different exotic animals and local animals. And they will have a great presentation and explain why animals need to be left out in the wild.
And they bring, but they do have animals with them,
yes,
right?
Yes, they usually have injured or animals that cannot be released back into the wild.
Okay.
And then at 2 o'clock, we have the One Heart Ceremony, which is going to be a fantastic show.
And that is, we're going to talk with the person who's doing that, but that's the giant puppets? Is that what that's all about?
Rosamund Crowder. She'll be talking about that later.
And then you also have exhibitors at the fair. You mentioned some of the people who will be there, but can you tell us any more about exhibitors?
Yeah, we use this as a venue for the agency, local, federal, and state agencies to have booths about endangered species. Also, nonprofit organizations come and have booths, and local schools will come and have booths.
Okay.
And we're wondering, too, will there be information on the Butte Environmental Council's campaign on the Tuscan water aquifer? Can we learn a little bit more about those issues at the fair?
Yes, Beck will be having a booth that'll have mostly a lot of water issues. Barbara usually staffs that booth, and Beck will also be having another booth on toxic awareness.
In the past, what have been some of your favorite exhibits? What have been the things that you've enjoyed most about the environmental fair? It's probably a lot of work for you, right? I mean, that's all you've been thinking about for the last umpty-ump months.
Yeah, starting in January, we start to gain ground on this fair pretty well. The federal agencies make really, really nice booths. Lassen Volcanic National Park and the Fish and Wildlife Service. But last year, our theme was pollinators, and Hooker Oak School had a great booth covered with giant butterflies that the kids drew and painted.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I remember that, too. That was really beautiful. Yeah.
And a lot of the you just cannot come to this fair and not learn something new.
Right. I learned a lot about oaks last year. There was, and I don't remember what the organization was, but we have a lot of oaks on our land. And I learned that you can kill them by giving them too much water. So I know just by listening to conversations and asking a lot of questions, yeah, there's something that you can learn about lots of the environment.
Yeah, that was California Oak Foundation last year.
Right, I knew it wasn't. Yeah, that's very good. And there's usually a lot of information to take away as well. Most people have, like, pamphlets and handouts. And are there things to do as well?
Oh, yeah, they have. Most booths will have activities for children and or adults. I mean, everybody gets to learn with activities in this fair.
Right. And what are some of the other things for children? You mentioned the animal wildlife things. What are some other, like, hands-on things that perhaps they could do?
That will mostly be at the different booths. And,
okay.
And a lot of the booths will have hands-on activity for the children, especially the Fish and Wildlife Service booth and the Plumas National Forest booth.
Okay, great. Good. And how can people best participate? Do you want to tell us again when and where and how we should get there? Ride your bike.
Ride your bike, walk, or take the bus if you can. Parking is fairly limited. They have remastered East 8th Street, and so there's fewer parking spaces. You can park along the, at the park and ride, and we're going to try and have a shuttle with the CCCs to the fair from park and ride.
Okay, and does this cost anything?
No, it's free for all people.
Cool.
Great. Thank you very much, Mary Machowski, who's the program coordinator for the Endangered Species Fair. Again, that's on Saturday, May 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Cedar Grove, Bidwell Park. Be there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There was a red brick road that I grew up on, and a pretty stone wall and a fragrant lawn. And the devil over there right next to the tracks. The slaves put a gentleman on breaking their backs. But those taxes knew no one would ever get into a carriage or anything that might lead to an interracial marriage.
New cut from the Pretenders. I love it, called Break Up the Concrete. And this is Ecotopia on KZFR. And we want to remind you that this is Membership Pledge Week on KZFR, and we would love to hear from you. We've gotten several calls during the program, and we would love to get some more. I just want to quickly remind you that we are offering two books for a $50 pledge, one book for each $50 pledge. You get your T-shirt, and you get a book. One is called Earth the Sequel, The Race to Reinvent Energy and Stop Global Warming. And the other one is What Would the Buddha Recycle? It's a Zen way of living green. And if you would like to make a pledge, please call 895-0706 or 895-0131.
And we want to remind you that at 7 o'clock this evening, we have The Storyteller with Adrian Scott, world literature and children's music from around the world. And at 7:30, All Mixed Up with Mark, Mike, and Jeff, bringing you 2.5 hours of rock and pop from the edges of mainstream and contemporary music.
And we want to let you know that Ecotopia is made possible by your contributions. Thank you so much. And by Greenovations. Based in Chico, Greenovations specializes in energy-focused retrofitting and green building upgrades. They offer in-home energy audits, diagnostic testing, and environmentally friendly products for home improvements. Greenovations can be reached by calling 895-9700 and on the web at green-o-vations.com.
We also want to remind you that over 80% of KZFR's content is locally generated, which is an extraordinarily high percentage these days when so much of what you hear on radio is prepackaged elsewhere, beamed in by satellite. This also means that the money that you donate to KZFR pretty much stays in town. It pays for staff salaries, upkeep, maintenance of equipment. We have a new studio that will be open in just a few months, and for running the transmitter. This is a good use of your eco dollars, and you can spend them by calling 895-0706 or 895-0131.
Tonight we're discussing endangered species and the Butte Environmental Council's Endangered Species Fair that's coming up on May 2nd, a week from Saturday. And a special feature of this year's fair is the One Heart Ceremony created by our next guest, Rosamond Crowder. Hello, Rosamond.
Hello. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Thank you so much for coming for the phone interview. Could you please tell us a little bit about the ceremony, what it includes, how it works?
Well, it's a modern day, I call it a modern day cross-cultural earth renewal ceremony, and it takes place in the round. It's it has a big drum in the center plays the heartbeat that represents life, and then we have dozens of spectacularly costumed dancers, stilt walkers, live musicians, and most spectacularly are the giant puppets.
Yeah, I've heard about those. Can you tell us just a little bit more about the giant puppets? Because that's what really intrigues me.
Yeah, they're about 18 feet tall.
Wow.
And that's like 3 6-foot tall people standing on top of each other. It's like a two-story building. So they're really big. They're held up by 4 people. Well, 3 people actually hold the puppet and the 4th person directs because it takes quite a bit of doing to make them dance, and we do make them dance.
Wow, cool.
And you bring down, do you bring down your own operators for these puppets, the dancers that come with you from Willits, your hometown, your home base?
I live in Willits now. I used to live in Chico. I actually built the puppets there in Chico.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the little Has-Beans coffee shop. That was my studio.
Wow.
Yeah, and all those giant puppets were built there. And we did the One Heart Ceremony at the Endangered Species Fair the first time we did it. So,
mm-hmm. And when was that? When was the first time you did it?
The first time was 1992.
Wow.
Yeah, and we have like a little core. Well, it's just Douglas and I from Willits, and then everybody who's in it is from Chico.
Okay.
So we have gathered volunteers from Chico, and we've got almost 100 people, I think, that are going to be performing. So it's very exciting, and a lot of local talent doing the dances, choreographing the dances, and performing the music, arranging the music. And
what is there besides a drum? You might have said that, and I zoned out for a second.
We have a big drum in the center that plays the heartbeat, and then each of the puppets is danced in with music and dancers, and so there are all kinds of drummers and flute players.
Nice.
We have didgeridoos and shakers, and so it's really beautiful. I hope everyone comes.
It sounds really beautiful. Do you do this in other places? Do you go to other events with your puppets, or is...
We do go to other events. We go to the High Sierra Music Festival. We put on parades there.
Mm-hmm.
We've performed in Willits and around Mendocino County quite a bit. And we're just so honored to be invited back by Beck.
It's really great.
What is your goal? How do you like people to leave the ceremony? Or do you have a kind of a track record there to indicate how folks feel when they leave?
We perform the ceremony. We say a prayer at the beginning so that people understand why we're doing it. And then after we have done our dance, we invite everybody to come dance with us. And that is really fun. So everybody that's there is welcome to come and join in after we've brought the puppets out. And we invite everybody to join us. In the end.
That sounds really fun. I want to do it.
Great.
Should I wear anything special?
What's that?
Should I wear anything special? Should I wear, like, sequins or anything?
Well, our intention is for people to connect to the earth. So
right.
It's a way of recognizing and honoring and celebrating the earth. So whatever makes you feel connected to the earth and all of its forces that are dancing all around us all the time might make you feel more connected.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah, and we're performing at 2:00.
Mm-hmm. 2:00, right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Rosamund. We appreciate your taking time to be with us tonight. Rosamund Crowder, who will coordinate the One Heart Ceremony at the Butte Environmental Council's Endangered Species Fair. Again, that's Saturday, May 2nd. 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Cedar Grove Bidwell Park with the One Heart Ceremony at 2 o'clock. Thank you, Rosamund.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll see you there.
Okay, yes, you will.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Big fat. Pig's supposed to look like that. Barnyard thug. Sleeps on straw, he calls it a rug. Yeah, it's a rug, okay. He's walking down the street, and nobody's gonna argue with him. He's a half a ton of pig meat. Up in the hills, above the farm, there's a pack of wolves, never did no harm. Sleep all day, hunt till fall. Maybe catch a couple of rodents, you know, carnivore. Sheep in the meadow, nibbling on some clover. One of those sheep just wanders over. Sits by a rock, separated from the flock. Just sitting by a rock. Where'd he go? I don't know. He's here a minute ago. I don't know. Sheep's dead. Got a gash as big as a wolf's head. Oh, God. Big fat. Pig's supposed to look like that. Wallowing in lanolin. He's rubbing it into his pig skin. The police are going crazy. Saying, let's get him. Let's get that wolf. Let's get him. Let's get that wolf, let's get him, let's kill him, let's get him, let's kill him. Court appointed lawyer, wasn't very bright. Or maybe he was bright, maybe it was just a late night. Yeah, it was just a late night and he filed some feeble appeal. And the governor said, forget it, it's a done deal. It's an election, I don't care, election. Get that wolf a lethal injection, let's get him. Let's get that wolf, let's get him. Let's get that wolf, let's get him, let's kill him, let's get him, let's kill him, let's get him, kill him, let's get him, let's kill him, let's fly. Woo.
Here comes the media with their camera, asking everybody's opinion about pigs, sheep, and wolves. Big and fat, pigs supposed to laugh like that. This is hilarious. What a great time. I'm the pig who committed the perfect crime. All around the world, France and Scandinavia, candlelight vigils, protesting behaviors, animal behavior.
It's animal behavior.
It's pig, sheep, and wolves. Pig, sheep, and wolves.
You are listening to the last couple minutes of Ecotopia, and we want to remind you to become a member or renew your membership in KZFR by calling 895-0706 or 895-0131. And we have just five more minutes to offer a book, Earth, the Sequel, The Race to Reinvent Energy and Stop Global Warming, for a $50 pledge, and you get that and a t-shirt. Or you could get What Would the Buddha Recycle? The Zen of Green Living. And you could get that book and a t-shirt if you if you sign up for a $50 membership in the next 5 minutes. And we also just want to say that community radio is one of the great things about the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And we do need your support, and we're so lucky to have the station. And Steve and I feel so happy to be a part of it. It's a great thing in our community.
We'll close our Ecotopia program tonight with our do-it-yourself segment from the Endangered Species Coalition Wild website. Easy things you can do at home to protect endangered species. They suggest you can learn about endangered species in your area, which, of course, you can do at the Endangered Species Fair on May 2nd. Visit a national wildlife refuge, park, or other open space. Good spaces in our area include the Ord Bend Refuge and Wildlife Area out on the Sacramento River, and the Kirshner Wildlife Refuge in Dayton, which features exotic animals that in many ways have lost their homes, lost their happiness, and are being taken care of at Kirshner. You can make your home wildlife-friendly by securing garbage and shelters and cans, not attracting pests, feeding your pets selectively and carefully. You can provide habitat for wildlife by planting native vegetation in your yard.
And please minimize your use of herbicides and pesticides. They might make your garden look nicer, but I don't actually believe that. I believe you can make your garden look beautiful without using herbicides and pesticides. Slow down when you're driving. Many animals in developed live in developed areas, and there are a lot of human hazards, and we're one of them. Recycle and buy sustainable products. You've heard that over and over and over on Ecotopia, and we're going to say it again. Never purchase products made from threatened or endangered species. If you're on an overseas trip and there are some really cool souvenirs, there are a lot of things that are available that you don't want to buy. We don't want animals made of illegal wildlife, including tortoiseshell, ivory, coral, products of fur from animals. Just avoid all of that. Report any harassment or shooting of threatened and endangered species, and protect wildlife habitat. Humans are doing a lot of things to get in animals' way, and we need to support organizations and activities that will make wildlife habitat exist.
That's it for Ecotopia for this evening. We've been talking about endangered species and the Endangered Species Fair on May 2nd. And we want to remind you that it's not too late for you to become a member or renew your membership in KZFR. You can call 895-0706 or 895-0131. I'm Stephen Chudy. Thanks very much for listening.
And I'm Susan Chudy. Good night.
The falling rain, weave me the hope of a new tomorrow, and fill my cup again. Sing it with me. Concrete crumble, shine on me again. The proud and the mighty, all have stumbled, shine on me again now. Weave me the sunshine out of the fall, out of the falling. Weave me the hope of a new tomorrow, and fill my cup again, fill it again now.
Life on this earth will grow.